from the first chapter of Second Thessalonians. Now, when we think about prayer priorities, I want you to know that by and large, our thanksgiving in our prayers seems to be tied rather tightly to our material well-being and comfort. What are you saying, Pastor? When you pray, whether it's thanksgiving or some other facet of prayer, often our prayers are about the material things and things that give us comfort. For some reason, that's often our prayer priority. Our prayer priority is usually something that's in the sphere of the earthly. There's nothing wrong with praying for things that are earthly, things that are temporal, but they ought not be the priority.
Yes, sir.
That ought not be the most important thing that we pray about. Yeah, we want to pray when we are out of work for jobs. When we intercede for others, we want to pray for healing. We want to pray for children to do well in school.
Yeah.
Amen. We want to pray for those things. We want to pray, amen, those that have children that are athletes, we want to pray for their well-being. That the Lord will allow them to participate without being injured. We want to pray when they're, amen, when they have tests. We want to pray, amen, for promotion and pray, amen, for in our decision making. We want to be prayerful in all of those things. But what I want to say is that our priority in prayer should be those things that will impact us 50 billion years from now.
Yes, sir.
50 billion years is now a long time.
Yes, sir.
So I'm saying the priority in our prayer life should be, amen, that is eternal. Has an eternal focus. Because if we just pray for material and comfort things, we pray for a good job, good to have a good job. Job go well, pray for good grades, pray for material things, and amen, pray for all those things are good. But if you get the good job and the good friends, amen, and the marriage go away, amen, great, and the good neighborhood and the kids and the children graduate with honors, and it's got all, praise God, that's good.
Yes, sir.
But the thing that still rattles in my mind is the word God says, what does it profit me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. To gain the whole world and lose his soul.
Yes,
so yes, I'm going to pray for my child, pray for my wife, pray for my family, pray that we have, amen, some material, some physical things, and pray, amen, for jobs when we're out of work, and I'm going to pray for you for the same thing, and I'm going to pray for your healing.
Yes,
but my priority,
yes,
my priority has to be praying for your spiritual growth.
Yeah.
Praying that you know God.
Come on now.
Praying that you're walking with him.
Yes, sir.
Praying that you experience his grace. Praying that he's pleased with you. Praying that you'll follow. Hold on things that really count. So that's the problem. And as we look at this, we're going to see that those are the type of things that Paul prioritizes in his prayers. Let's look at that. Should have brought some of these down. All right. Look at verse 3. Paul said, we're always give thanks to God. Some say he's already giving thanks to God. He's thankful and giving thanksgiving. Amen. Because this was right. Paul was giving thanks. And look at what he's giving thanks for. Because your faith is growing abundantly. In other words, Paul, when he looks at the church of Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonica, he sees something. He has a glimpse,
yes, sir,
of God's grace. He sees God's signs of God's grace in the Thessalonians church. One of the signs that he sees that they are experiencing God's grace is their faith is just growing. It surprises Paul that their faith is growing so much. Boy, that's something to be thankful for. You know, we talk about all the time that our goal, amen, is to be a healthy church. And one of the marks of a healthy church is the faith is growing. Amen. You ought to have more faith this year than you had in 2016. That's a couple years ago. Amen. Your faith should be, amen, a little strong. And their faith surprised Paul. I knew you were going to grow, but I didn't know you were going to grow like this. He said, I'm thankful, God. I'm thankful that they're growing like this. We usually thank God for stuff that's foremost on our mind. I want to ask you, what have you thanked God for lately? Think about it. What have you thanked God for lately? Now I'm going to ask you, when you think about what you thank God for, was it earthly stuff? Or was it heavenly stuff? Was it material and temporal? Or was it some area that you see your children, your spouse, other church members, people that you're interceding or praying for, some broke? You see something that God is doing in their life, and you get so thankful because you see God moving in their life. Those were the kind of prayer priorities that Paul had. But not only was their faith increased, but also they were increasing in their love for one another. Man, that's something to be thankful for. That's something to be thankful for. He said, their faith growing. Like, man, I can see this. And then he said, not only that, but their love like a wildfire. They just loving one another like I'm just thankful, God, that they love one another so much. You see the kind of thing that Paul is praying about, that Paul is thankful about. I'm asking us I'm asking me, and I'm asking you, when we pray, think about last week when you prayed. Were these the kind of things you thank God for? Yes, thank God for your home. Thank God for your children. Thank God for your spouse. Thank God for having a job and food and shelter. But don't stop there. You got to prioritize something else. Have you thanked God later for saving you? Changing your life, turning you around. Thank Him for dying for you on Calvary's cross and taking your place and being your substitute. The thing that's going to impact you 50 million years from now. Because 50 million years from now, the house is great. Y'all have a roof over here. But 50 million years from now, it's going to fade. In comparison to what God has in store for me. I'm just glad I'm found. Have you thanked God, thank you God, for that church where I found you? Amen. Thank you God for the sermon that I heard, amen, that drew me to you when you called me to yourself. Thank you God for the people in my faith community that helped me to grow. Then not only when Paul looked at the church at this Thessalonica, the Thessalonians, then he said, Lord, I'm thankful because I look at their faith and I'm surprised by how much faith they got. And Lord, I see how much they love and they grief. But then he says, not only that, Lord, but another thing that I see that I'm so grateful for is that, amen, they're enduring affliction. They're going through hard times. I'm looking at how they handle the hard times. You can always tell the maturity of a believer and where a church is and if it's a healthy church when you look at how the saints that are part of that faith community handle hard times. You know how we handle hard times? When you been with God and in God's word, I found out. I'm just saying for myself. I handle a hard time with hope. Yeah. Hope is what keeps me going in hard times. Because right. Hope is not a wishful thing. Y'all hear me? Right. Does anybody hear me in here? Yeah. Hope is not wishing. I wish things would get better. I wish God would work this thing out. I wish there was an end to this trial. But hope, biblical hope, is a certainty. So what I'm going through, I'm certain of something else. Number one, I'm certain even in the midst of my trial, of my struggle, of my pain, I'm certain that God loves me. I got that certainty. I don't care how difficult it gets. I got this. I know He loves me. I know God loves me. I know I'm His child. Secondly, I know my God has all power.
Come on now.
He got all power. And He loves me. I'm going through, but as I go through, I got a God that loves me and has all power. See, sometimes when people are going through, they'll say, wait a minute, God, this is what I'm going through. Either you don't love me, because I know you got all power, so if I'm going to let me go through this, you must not love me. Or either say, well, you love me, but you must not have enough power to get me out. But hope says, I'm certain that God loves me. There's no doubt. He loves me. And there's no doubt. power to get me out? Why am I still in this trap? Third thing through the Bible. If he loves me and he chooses not to get me out, he's going to use what I'm going through. He's going to use what I'm going through and bring about greater good. The grand yes. He's going, if he doesn't rescue, I know he got no power, I know he loves me enough to rescue me, but the reason why he lets me stay there is because my staying in the trial will bring about great good. It may bring about my growth. It may bring me closer to him. I look at this show. Maybe some of you look at this show. Greenlee. Anybody ever look at Greenlee? Y'all look Greenlee. Go people in Greenlee. I was looking at Greenlee the other night. And if you look at Greenlee, you know Sophia. You know Sophia, that's the pastor Greenlee's granddaughter. Yeah, I know Greenlee. So not this is the last episode. She got a pain that she had to go to the hospital for. And the doctors were working on her, and before they put her to sleep, she was just dreaming and so happy, even though they make her, they put something that happens to them. Them happy girls. She was thinking about how great her life was going to be, how wonderful, and how, amen, one day she was going to have a family and be married and have children. Amen. And that was the last thing before she fell asleep.
Yeah.
You know the story. If you watch, she woke up. And when she woke up, she found out that she had some issues in her reproductive system. And in order for the doctors to save her, they had to remove some things. So now she wakes up and she'll never be able to have a family. Y'all with me? I'm talking about going through a trial. And she wakes up and this week you saw her dealing, trying to deal with that hardship, that pain. She said, because God didn't come in and rescue her from this. He didn't protect her from this. She wanted to erase God. Erase church. I'm not going back to church. I'm not dealing with God. I'm going to erase God from my life. And I'm just going to do life on my own. Because she wasn't, she's just a young man. She hadn't got to the stage of maturity where hope wins. Because when you get to that stage of maturity where hope wins, whatever happens, you don't erase God, you embrace God. I don't take God, amen. I don't try to get away from God and stop going to church and give up on God when times are hard. It's when times are hard I come close and take hold of God. Don't embrace God, embrace God. Hope says, amen, God loves you, he's powerful, and whatever happens, he's going to bring out to a greater good. Pardon me. And I say that, I don't want to minimize. I do not want to minimize the pain when you're going through. Because sometimes when you're going through, the pain gets to be unbearable. And you just want to throw up your hands and throw in the towel and say, forget about it, because the pain has become unbearable. The only way you can make it through sometimes is that God got to be with you. That's why I hold on to it.
Jesus, walk with me.
Yeah. You get your head is on. Walk with me, Lord. Yeah. Walk with me. Because I know I'm going to have some difficulties, some tedious things. Amen. While I'm on this tedious, Lord, I need you to walk with me. Yes. Not only, Lord, do I need you to walk with me, but will you hold my hand?
Yeah.
Ooh, I wish I had a witness in here. But I need to hold my hand. Because sometimes I'm not strong enough to hold on to him. Sometimes the pain becomes so unbearable, I'm not strong enough to hold him. But I know he's strong enough to hold me.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I had a witness. I'm sure.
Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
I'm sure when Amber, if Amber walks across a busy street in a red light, amen, she's holding up justice. Amen. Justice hand ain't strong enough.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole home,
yeah, yeah.
She might trip and fall in the street and get injured. But Amber's hand.
Yeah, yeah.
It's strong enough to hold on to justice.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever been there? When you're going through, amen, you feel like giving up, but he's holding on to you. I'm trying to tell you sometimes the reason why some of you are here today, not because you held on to him, but he held on to you. The reason why I'm here today is not because I held on to him, but he wouldn't let go. Hope, you got to hope your way through.
Yes, sir.
In this area where they're talking about we have such a critical suicide rate, we got to be examples of how to hope your way through. Yeah. We got to give God glory that we can endure whatever comes at us and we can handle it with hope. I'm thankful that the faith is just growing so much in their love. And I like the way they handle hard times. Because, you know, I mean, that's long because we're born in hard times. Because when Paul first started the church, he went there, preached to them, some of them going to church. And the folks, the Jews got upset. The Jewish leaders went out. Got their little money together, hired some thugs, and kept the people there. Say, well, hey, we need some thugs. The Christian, led by Paul, Paul the prophet. We need to take them a little beat down. Amen. And paid them off. And Thessalonians were born out of it, and they were still that kind of attitude toward Christianity. I'm reminded, I think we'll have 17 or late 16, there was a fire chief in Atlanta, Kelvin Cochran. He was fired because in his own time, he was a brother. In his own time, he was writing a book, Sunday school book.
Okay.
Writing a Sunday school book in his own time. And in that Sunday school book, he wrote about same-sex relationships in a biblical, from a biblical perspective. How wrong they were in the sight of God. And since they say he represented, they wrote that in his own time, with his own Sunday school, in his own church. But they said since he wrote about that in his own time, and expressed his religious belief in his own time, and since he was anti-homosexual and gay, same sex attraction, they fired him. They fired him. And he had his shield up in his one trial went on, I don't know if he's going to kill it or not. But in the trial, amen, they didn't say they fired him, even though everybody knew. They didn't fire him for his religious views. They said they fired him because he wasn't supposed to have another job without asking. And he said when he wrote that book, it was another job. So as believers, I'm saying that's the kind of thing we will have to contend with in our society. If you read on down, it says, when he comes back, he's going to show judgment, amen. His justice is going to be issued out to all those that were against us. And he's going to vindicate the righteous. That's the hope we have. See, sometimes it may not get better on this side, but sooner or later it's going to work out. It's going to work out. And I got to have that faith. I'm going to hold on. Because I'm not thinking about now. I'm thinking about 50 billion years from now. When I'm enjoying all God got for me. So Paul said, I'm thankful for their faith, thankful for their love, thankful for the hope that I see in their enduring afflictions. I'm thankful for those things. And then he begins to pray. He's thankful that he sees them being, because this church in Thessalonians, church is such a healthy church. And he just thank God for them being healthy, because he know God's grace is at work. We are not perfect as a church, Bethsaida. But I'm thankful to God's grace is at work. Amen. I didn't want to be somewhere where God's grace is at work. Where people grow. Where people are not the same year after year. But they grow to know more about God. Where their faith becomes stronger. Their love, amen, increases. And their ability to endure hardness. Showing of God's grace. So then Paul says, okay, with this in mind, Paul said, with this in mind, there's some things I want to continue praying for. He thanks God for the glimpse of grace, but then Paul prays for growth in grace. They're already growing. Paul said, I'm going to pray for their further growth. See, you never arrive. Amen. You got to keep praying. Keep praying for their further growth. Listen. And first, look at the request. Let me read this one. Just a second. I'm getting this on the back. I'm going to turn it over. All right, here we go. To the end, also, we pray for you always. And I'm just right here. Let me read up here so I have the same words. Okay. To this end, I always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling. Yeah. Amen. God, Paul prayed for them to have a character worthy of his calling. What do you mean? Now, we'll never be worthy of all he's done for us. But what he said, let me see this. Say for instance, some of you will, for some reason, President Obama, couldn't say Trump because I know y'all attitude. President Obama was, sit up, I'm coming to Manhattan, and I want to stay at your house. Now you may not be worried, well, I'm going to stay at my house. I got, you know, this little home, I got a little modest home heater sitting at the fire. Fine homes and mansions. I just got a little old house. But you know he was coming over your house. The president is coming over your house. The president. President Obama. What you going to... You're not going to leave your house like it is. You're going to have the carpet cleaned. You're going to go get all the cobwebs. You're going to buy you some new bed. Especially the room he said, you're going to go around and buy you some new bed. Get some solid pillars. Amen. Make sure, amen, that your, amen, go get your china out. Dust your china off. Make sure your china is in real good shape. Amen. Fine, amen. See, you can't find all your forks and spoons. You might, I don't want to be sharp on forks. faucet spoon, so you go get you some new faucet spoon and get your new paper cup. Because the Obamas is coming over. And what you're trying to do, amen, you're trying, and in that particular, you're trying to make their charge of your high worthy of their business. So you work to make your house worthy of their business. So as believers, when we realize God has called us, amen, to this marvelous life and the life that he's called us to, we work on our lives with his help to make our lives worthy of his calling. He's called me for something. Everybody in here has been called. I'm not called a priest. Pastor, I ain't called a priest. I'm not talking about being called a priest, but you've been called, amen, out of the darkness into the marvelous light. You've been called to be a representative of God. Amen. You've been called by the great God. Now he said, since he called me, just like you're trying to get your house ready, amen, for the president, you need to try to get your life ready to represent him right. Paul says, he prayed, God, help them to get their life ready. They can't do it without you. Help them to get their life ready where they can walk worthy of your calling. First thing he prayed for, that he prayed, hey, they doing good. They got faith. They got love. They got endurance, hope.
Yeah.
Help them keep growing. Because they're still not living life worthy of your calling. I know you're calling them, and some good things happen. I want you to keep on. They're getting close, but they're not there yet. Secondly, he says, make worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. Look at what I'm saying. Resolve of faith. That means resolution. Y'all know, like, every New Year's, you make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose 35 pounds. That's your New Year's resolution. Amen. Amen. And if New Year's come on Monday, you hold it on by Thursday. Maybe you make it Thursday night. But Friday, fish fry. That Friday fish fry gets you every time. You make a resolution, but usually we're going to live out those resolutions. What Paul is talking about in the last half of this verse, when he said resolve, he's saying that they are faith and spirit prompted resolves. There's a thing when you listen to the word of God, when you're around God's people, when you're in God's word, when you're praying to God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God prompts you with your faith that you need to deal with in your life. Maybe something to do with your life, something he wants you to do, a purpose, or maybe there's an issue, something he needs you to correct in your life. Whether it's something he needs you to correct or something he wants you to do, Paul says that the thing that the Holy Spirit has prompted them in faith that they need to do for God, Lord, give them the power to do. This is what I wanted to kind of talk to them about. Why have you? Bible open. In Philippians, y'all can write that, but we'll put that on there by then. Philippians 13, chapter 2, verse 13. You just write it right there and you get it later. When you find it, it says, for it is God who is at work in you. God is at work in you. Okay? Both to will. He give, you hear something? In your heart, in your spirit, that God wants you to do. in the sermon, in your Bible study, in your prayer time, in your time spent with him, in your time spent in the community, you hear something. Oh, either say, God want me to, oh, that's something I need to work on in my life. That attitude, the pride, the unforgiveness, something I need to work on in my life. Or there may be something he wants you to do. Look at the homeless people. I need you to work with them. If it's something he wants you to work on in your life or something he wants you to do, he says, first he gives you the will. God at work, he gives you the will to do it. In other words, I always say, he gives you the want to. Want to. That's why you make the New Year resolution. Because you want to do something. The problem is, you want to, but you can't. But look at the other, this is the power part of this verse. Philippians 1, Philippians 2, verse 13. He said, both to will and to work or to do, depending on what. Anyway, he won't only give you the want to, he'll give you the can do. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Because a lot of times, amen, I had a want to, but I don't have a can do. Because I'm living in what I can do, rather than what he can do. So Paul said, I'm praying for when God gives them the want to, he gives them the resolve they need. It's all right, but it's good to have a want to and a will to do it, but then they got to have the power. Because it's the power that enables them to do what I'm putting in their heart to do. Sometimes we see people going astray. Maybe it's your child, maybe it's your friend, fellow church member, neighbor. You need to pray this. God. They have told you that sometimes they reveal to you something that they want to overcome. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a struggle. You say, God, give them the want to. I see you give them the want to, but Lord, I also need you to give them power. They don't resolve that there's something they want to deal with in their life, but now they need your power. And Paul is saying, in the third church of Thessalonica, in the Thessalonians, God, I see a lot of want to. I see a lot of resolve. They want to follow you. They want to be your disciple. But God, they need your power. And I'm praying that they'll have your power. Because I don't have the power. I want to do things, but I don't have it. Can't do it myself. And all he can do, I got to have his spirit. I got to have him working in me. And I'm glad God is working in me. Thank God the health of the church. Amen. You're not trying to do it. You're not trying to do the moral and ethical thing in your own strength. But you depend on God. Daily. Yes. Give me your power. Every morning, give me your power, God. Come, give me your power so I can live a life that does not embarrass you. Give me your power, God, that I won't even when there's nobody looking, I don't want to embarrass you with help because I know something, it's the angels are watching me. And I want them to know that you are so important to me that even when nobody else sees me, it's important to me to please you. Because I know if I don't pray that for a couple of days, I'm going to do some embarrassing to him. I see some of y'all better than me. Some of you just been in the church so long. You just do it. I don't need praying. I just do that. I'm going to do it. I'm a saint. I've been doing it for a long, long time. Well, y'all pray for the pastor. Pray for the pastor then. You already good. Say, Lord, help the pastor to do what the word of God says. And I know that. It's him. That's why, amen, when I have a good day, amen, I praise him and I thank you, God, that I made it through the day. because, Lord, you gave me the strength to live out the thing that you put in my heart. I want to live up to my name. My name needs to honor God. But sometimes the flesh won't let me honor you like you deserve to be honored. So give me the power. Anybody here need the power? Did anybody but me that need the power of God? I got to close this thing. But that's what he asked for. And he says, if you give the Thessalonians what I'm asking for, then God, you get the glory. Amen. That's what it's all about. Amen. It's not about us getting the glory. It's about God getting the glory. All that the whole purpose of my life is to give him glory. Glory, amen. I want people to see how good God is when they look at me and remember who I used to be. Not all that I'm going to be, but when they remember what I used to be and see me now, they know how good, how powerful God is. God is glory. The only way you get the glory is when God's power at work, when he's at work. Thank you when he's at work. Hallelujah. Thank you for being at work. Somebody needs to go home today and say, thank you, God, for being at work. Thank you, God. I've come a long way. I'm not there yet, Lord, but I'm heading in the right direction. And the only reason why I'm heading in the right direction is because of you, God. All of the honor, yes. All of the praise, yes. Belong to you. Yes. My hallelujah, yes. Belong, yes, to you. Because, yes, I know where I could have been without you. I could have been in the crack house without you. I could have been in the jail house without you. I could have been in the poor house without you. Could have been the
graveyard. Yes, sir.
Yes. Without you. But you've been there. Yes, you're thinking things.
Yep.
Holding me when I couldn't hold you.
Yes, sir.
Oh!
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And then he said, not only will God give glory, but then he said, we'll give glory. What do you mean by that? Now, we won't get the same kind of glory, God. But we'll look. What he means is we'll begin to live more.
Yes.
See, God's glory is who he is, how great he is. We'll begin to live more and more like Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's when we get glory. Oh, how I want to be like him. Mm-hmm. Amen. I want to be like Jesus.
Yep.
When we get the power to live like God wants to, we'll get to be more. More like him. I want to be more like him every day. I don't know about you. I want to be more like him. More unselfish like him. More patient like him. More kind and loving like him. I want to be like Jesus. So when people look at me, they can see. Thank God is at work in him. I thank God is at work in her. I thank God is at work in that young person. I thank God is at work in that teenager. I thank God is at work in that 8-year-old. Because I see,
yeah,
God's grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's why he gets the glory. Because he's the star of the story.
All right.
Yeah. I'm not the star. He's the star. He gets the glory. It was him that hung on the cross. It was him that died there. It was him that was buried. It was him that said that Friday, Saturday, and every Sunday morning, he rose, so he gets the glory. All the honor. All the praise.
Yes, sir.
Musicians coming. You hear today? Look at Paul's prayer for artists. not on the earthly, temporal, but upon the spiritual, the eternal. The things that will count 50 billion years from now. That's what he prayed for. Growth, love, faith, dealing with hardships. Growth for both to come to Christ and get saved. That's ought to be our priority. Praying for life to change. Praying for movement. Praying that God will make a difference. We thank the priorities that our prayer. Because our prayer says something about our heart. Where your heart is, you will be praying. If your heart is on earth, then your prayers will be earthly. If your heart is on the heaven, then your prayers will prioritize the earth. And then talk about the earth. Because we got to have life on earth too. You know, don't just stay on earth. Make sure heaven is prioritized. And what God wants is prioritized. If you're here, I want you to extend your privilege that you can come to Christ, find him to be your Lord, your Savior, somebody that loves you and will walk with you through life difficulties.